Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are in the book of Luke. We're actually in chapter number 8, so we're making good progress. We talked about Jesus calming the storm and on the lake and on their way to the other side. And today, Hannah, we are going to be in that same boat, and we're going to arrive at the other side. So when you see that the term the other side throughout the Bible, the other side simply refers to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. And the east side of the Sea of Galilee was called the other side because it was not inhabited by Jews. It was part of a 10-city region. You can look at one of your Bible maps called Decapolis. Deca, 10, polis is the word for city. So it was 10 Greek city-states. Bet-Shan was one of them. We've gone to Bet-Shan, the ruins of Bet-Shan in Israel. Gadara was one of them.
Maniac of Gadara.
Right, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So Jesus arrives at the other side after this storm, and what the disciples find is that storms exist in water, but storms also exist in people. And we're going to find another storm here in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man. Now, if you read the parallel passages in Mark and in Matthew, you're going to find out that there was not only one, although the emphasis here will be on one, there were actually two. Maniacs of Gadara. And the Bible says, there met him a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it, the unclean spirit, had caught him and was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. I mean, so this man for years, Hannah, had been tormented by this demon, and society had tried to help him by restraining him. Until finally, he was a lost cause. Until finally, they just let him live out in the graveyard on the edge of town and live in his own misery and his own possession. And I mean, what a horrible thing. And is it not a great illustration of what happens when the devil gets a hold of a life? A life is never bettered. The thief cometh not, but to steal.
And has complete control of his life.
Right.
Every aspect.
And there's not one beneficial thing. And there's nobody happy. The man is completely in pain. He is at a loss to be able to help himself. He's unrestrainable. He's naked. He's bleeding. He's tormented, he's screaming, he's alone, he lives in a graveyard. It's pathetic. And I can only imagine what the disciples were thinking. I mean, they arrive at the other side and you got this naked, screaming madman running at you.
Yeah, my first reaction would not be to help him, unfortunately. I think I would be running.
Yeah, I'd be getting back in that boat. It's like a trip to Walmart. You're going to see some weird people. This is even weirder than Walmart.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. And yet Jesus demonstrates such great compassion. And is it not interesting that the demons recognize who Jesus is?
That was going to be my next thing to say, that how incredible it was that they knew who he was, and that's why he came running to him.
There's an unseen world, my friends. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible teaches that that there is that unseen world that we deal with. And here are devils, legion, maybe up to 6,000 demons that live in this man. Amazing. And yet they recognize the authority of Christ. And it reminds me of the verse that James shared with us in James chapter 2, when he was talking about faith, and he said, the devils also believe and tremble. So in what sense do the devils believe on Jesus? So I would say they believe on him with a head knowledge. They know that mentally who he is, but right, there's no faith and trust in him.
Right, or they wouldn't be.
And we don't know all of what's entailed there. It seems as if the fallen angels, the demons, had one opportunity to accept or reject because of what they knew. You know, in the very presence of God, they rejected. But whatever the case is, the point that James makes is that simply knowing the facts about who God is, simply knowing the facts about who Jesus is not analogous to saving faith. It's not the same. And here we have demons that know who Jesus is. They correctly identify him. They're even submissive to his authority, but they're certainly not candidates for an altar call. Look at what it says in verse, turn my page here, Luke chapter 8 and verse 30, where Jesus actually initiates the conversation and asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Boy, that would be it'd be a scary moment for me. Look at verse 31. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. So I often wondered what that meant. So the demons are immediately afraid. They understand that they've met somebody that has greater authority than they. And isn't that not the way a bully behaves? Bullies are always tough when they're around weak people. But bullies are, you understand the real heart of a bully when somebody's tougher than he is. So these demons, boy, they're more than willing to dominate this man. But when Jesus confronts them, boy, there's this submission, and they're, please don't send us into the deep. Please don't send us into the deep. The Jewish people had a conception about the portals to Hades, to hell. And there were three portals to hell: the wilderness, the sea, and then Jerusalem, specifically Gehenna, that valley. These were the portals to hell in the Jewish conception. So when the demons were saying, don't send us into the deep, what they were saying is, don't send us away to hell. Don't consign us to the underworld. Don't do that. And it almost seems like Jesus is making a deal with the devil. Because it says in verse 32, and there was there an herd of many swine. So we know this wasn't a Jewish area, because swine would be unclean. This is a Gentile area. They were feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. So what does that mean? That means that the devil's kind of made this deal. Okay, Jesus, would you, instead of sending us into the deep, would you send us into the pigs? And Jesus said, okay. So does that strike you as odd, Hannah?
Yeah, at first glance, it's like, why would he negotiate with them?
Right. Like, is he feeling bad for the devils? Okay, you know, devils are having a bad day. I'll let them go into the pigs, not into the right. deep.
No, you have to make sure we're reading it within context.
Right. Know? I don't think that's what he did at all. Let's read the next few verses, and let me tell you what I believe Jesus was doing. Verse 33, then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. So don't send us into the deep. And Jesus, send us into the pigs. Jesus said, okay. He sent them into the pigs. What did the pigs do?
Go into the deep.
They went into the deep. Now, let me ask you a question, Hannah. If Jesus had simply consigned these demons to the deep, who would have seen that?
No one.
No one. They're an unseen world. But when Jesus sent the demons into the pigs and 2,000 pigs ran down a cliff into the deep, who saw that?
Everyone that was around.
Everybody. So Jesus wasn't making a deal with devils. Jesus was consigning them to hell in a way that everybody would be able to see it. So everybody would be able to understand the power and authority of Jesus' word. So you see the theme? Now I'm going to give you a couple of corny jokes, okay? Don't you like dad jokes? Number one, okay? This is the first example in the Bible of suicide. See what I did there? Suicide.
Yes, yeah. I see.
They went hog wild.
Never heard that one before.
See, that's a good one, huh? Mm-hmm. How about this one? This is the first recorded case of deviled ham. Come on, folks.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll be with you all week. No, really. Come on. Give yourselves a hand.
Clap or have like a courtesy laugh.
Yeah, I guess that was pretty bad. Let's move on. So verse 34, when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it to the city. They went out to see what was done then and came to Jesus. They found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. They were afraid. Isn't that interesting? They were afraid because they understood the power that overtook this man. And now they understood that there was one in their midst that had greater power. And that caused them great fear, realizing we are in the power of God, in the presence of the power of God, because here's one that was able to unshackle and to help this man. And what a great picture of salvation. He was changed physically. He was seated and clothed in his right mind, emotionally, mentally, but most importantly, spiritually. This man was utterly transformed. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, because we're out of time, then they which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, which is unfathomable to me. Get lost, Jesus. For they were taken with great fear, and they went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city. Matter of fact, the Bible says even to all the cities in the parallel passage, how great things Jesus had done unto him. The interesting thing is, Hannah, months later, Jesus came back to this region and he fed what was called the 4,000, different miracle than the 5,000. Where did these 4,000 hear about Jesus? Jesus had never been to that region before or after that, except for when he came back for the feeding of the 4,000. I believe that people that came and flocked to him later on came because this man, one man whose life was changed, went and told everybody Jesus made the difference.
I love how he went above and beyond of what Jesus told him.
Yes, I want everyone to know. And my friends, that would be my encouragement to you. Has Jesus radically changed your life? Tell somebody, even today, tell somebody. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great day. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.